What I want to share is this. If you would turn, if you have your Bibles with you, to Ephesians. And, you know, it's Mother's Day. I know that the weekend tomorrow is. And we're, you know, an off night. So we're not going to be on Mother's Day. But it is Mother's Day weekend. So buckle your seat belts. If you don't like it, pull your toes in. It's going to be okay. I hope you love me after I'm done. It's going to be all right. I'm not saying I'm going to be mean. I'm just saying the Holy Ghost has given me something and I can feel it. So let's go. All right. So the word says this in Ephesians chapter 5. I want to start on this verse. This is just the, it's kind of off of where I want to be specifically, but it's in the same verse that I'm going to go from here to. So it is chapter 5 where I will stay. So in chapter 5 in verse 8 through 13, I want to read this. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. So I wanted to read this definition of Webster about manifest. Remember, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by light. For whatever makes manifest is light. I want you to remember this as I'm talking tonight. Whatever makes manifest is light, because I'm going to expose some things and it's going to be a little bit uncomfortable, but whatever makes manifest is light. All right, what's manifest mean? In Webster's, it says this: readily perceived by the senses, and especially by the sense of sight. Their sadness was manifest, seen on their faces, as an example. Then it says, easily understood or recognized by the mind. Easily understood or recognized by the mind. What does the enemy love to do? Do his stuff in what? Darkness. What does he love to do? Bring confusion. What does he love to do? Bring error and deception and throw things off. So I'm going to go into the Word tonight. I'm going to bring a little bit different perspective on some things. I hope the Holy Spirit allows this. I know He is going to allow it. I'm not saying He won't. I'm just saying. So easily understood or recognized by the mind. So whatever is light does that. Paula, what was the definition you said earlier? Show or display. So just as the lights were off a little bit ago, you turn them on, you can see better. Go into a dark room, it's full of stuff. You don't want to trip. Turn the lights on, you can see everything. So that is my prayer and what the Holy Spirit would do through this. So let's move on. Same chapter, chapter 5. Verse 22. I am not going to delve into all of the background and stuff on this, but I do want to start here because I feel like it's foundational to where I want to go, okay? So I'm going to read this. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ, head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be their own husbands in everything. Now, I don't want to dive into all the history. I just want to simply say this. When Paul is saying this, because it's been so misconstrued in history for so long, Paul was not dealing with this from the angle of husbands and wives, where wives have to submit and be just totally like a slave to their husband, okay? He wasn't. So you can go back and you can look. I can tell you what he was doing is saying that wives should submit to their husbands, not to every man, but to their husbands. So if you have questions about that, you can ask me. We'll go into it. I'll give you the stuff. But let's move on. So it says this, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." Okay, let me point some things out to you, okay? Why did Paul have to say he is the Savior of the body? Christ is the head of the church, just as he is Savior of the body. What does the word says that we are the body of Christ as the church, right? He is our head. But talking specifically here about husbands and wives, what is he saying? He is saying Christ is the Savior of the body. He says the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Why is he highlighting that? What did he do to become the Savior of the body of Christ, of believers, of those of all of us who believe in him? He gave his life. He wasn't selfish. He gave his life. As a husband, speaking as a husband, I can be very selfish if I want to be. I can work all the time. I can go fishing a lot. I can stay away. I can let Paula do everything. I can. We can. As men, we can do that. But it's wrong. Because that's not what Jesus did. He gave his life. He was unselfish. He wasn't selfish. That's why Paul pointed out he is the Savior of the body when he said that about the husbands being the head. Give me another reason. Make sense of it. There isn't. Because that's what he was saying. "Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything." Husbands, this is where it's key, okay? "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." I have seen it so far too many times. And it's tempting. I've been there. I mean, I grew up in it. Every example in my life growing up that I knew of did it. I mean, in my own household at times it was like that. So it's hard when you see that most of what's around you is this, but yet Paul here is telling us to be different. Does not Jesus tell us to be different than the world? So why would it be different in the most important relationship and institution in our lives, marriage, to be different than the world? To stand out? Can we do what everyone else does and go do our own thing? Yes. Does it mean we can't go hunting and fishing and do the fun stuff we love to do? No. But if we have it in this proper place and right perspective, then we get to enjoy that and still have a good time and enjoy life when we get home. On both sides. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. What does the Bible say? What did Jesus say? What did even the Pharisees agree with? Two greatest commandments. Love your neighbor as yourself. And love God with all your heart. Jesus himself said that we should love ourselves. And then it goes on even further into this. Well, let me read this again. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. So if I, as a husband, am not cherishing and loving my wife, then I'm not obeying the word. It's the bottom line. If I'm not loving my wife and treating her as much as I care for my own self, my own body. Now, some of us love to eat. Some of us love to do things. And we take care of our bodies physically. And there's all kinds of ways you can do that. And all of us have different ways that we love to do it. Some of us love to go to buffets and eat. Whatever it is, I'm just saying, we should love our wives. He's saying this very clearly. I'm not saying it's a buffet. I'm just simply trying to illustrate that whatever that thing is for us as men, because I know some of us love to go hunting. Some of us love to go fishing. And if we love to do things that are not fitting, that are not, that we do that more than we love our own wives, so we spend time with them, whatever it is. It can be work. I have done it. I've been there. I know the struggle. And it doesn't matter what the thing is. What matters is that we realize what the Scripture says. And the Scripture says that we should love and cherish our wife. The Scripture says that we should love her as we do our own selves. And our own bodies. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. And then it says in verse 29, for no one hated his own flesh and nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body and his flesh and of his bone. For the reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife. Again, he's saying it again. You know what's funny to me? It seems like he's saying a little bit to the wives and a whole lot to the husbands. There's a whole lot more there. At least it's a whole lot more tense. Maybe I'm just feeling that. I don't know. Just saying. So he says this, "Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Respect is simply honoring. Let me tell you something. It is hard to love correctly someone who doesn't respect you, and it is hard to respect someone correctly who doesn't love you. What is he saying? He's dealing with both sides. He's right in the center of the road. He's not on one side or the other. He's dealing with both. And yes, he's admonishing the husbands, it seems like, a little more. Probably because we need it. I know I do. Why is this important? Why is this important on Mother's Day? Because I can't think of any greater gift to a mom, to a wife, to a mother, than to get this thing correct. Because if not, she's suffering every day. Is that not truth? That's truth. If not, she's lacking. If not, it's not good. And the same goes the other way for husbands as well. So let me get off of that subject for just a second, and let me go a different route, okay, just for a second. Because I want to encourage, we're not all married. So when we are looking for to get married, we're looking to get married, and we're looking for a spouse, and we're in that place, because we've, even when we're married, we've all been there before, we understand that, but some of us here are not there yet. So let me encourage you with this. If that man or woman that we are seeking, waiting for, being patient for, is not sent by God, is not designed by God, is not the one, it's not worth our time. Why am I saying that? Because it's true. It's just true. If that person has not been cultivated by Jesus, and they're not ready, and they're not the one, then it's not worth even wasting a moment on. Let me explain. If we have to question ourselves, because I've been there, and I'm speaking from, it's a long time ago, so it's a little fuzzy, but if we're speaking about this and we have to say, I just want to say a couple things. One, dating someone who's not saved to try to get them saved does not work. Period. It just, that's not God. I'm just saying, it's the truth. It never works out. I've never seen it work out right. I don't believe in it. I just don't. Because why? Because one is thinking one thing and another is thinking another thing. You can't fix that. So don't waste the time trying to do that. Because the motives on both sides in that situation are off. Just like the motives can be off in a husband and wife relationship on both sides in what we just talked about. So in the very beginning, if you're not there yet and you're not married and you don't have a spouse and you're waiting or you're praying and you're asking Jesus, make him your focus during that time. And let him send that person into your life that is specifically designed, cultivated, and made for you. Now, I'm not talking about, I don't want to get into everything. I just want to say this. It doesn't mean that when things are done in the past and things have happened that you know, where there's separations and stuff like that, that still can't happen. It still can. It still can. Because God is God. He's the God of good things always. And His good, in His mind, our good is always on His mind. Okay? So He will always send someone for us if we're in that place. And we need to be ready for that, looking for that. Because if we're not looking for that, if we haven't set our focus and we haven't set our heart and we haven't set our mind on God's best meaning exactly the person He's designed for us, and we're in that place and situation, then guess what will happen? We will settle for less. And that will not be good. And that's just the truth. Is it hard truth? Yeah, but it's the truth. Don't settle for less. You know, one thing I really love about Paula is she did not make it easy for me. Because she had her mind set that she was not going to settle for less when I met her. Her mind was made up. I'm not settling for less than what the man that God has chosen for me and sent to me. And if we're men, on the men's side, it's the same way. Don't settle for less than the person that God has specifically sent and designed for you. And if they don't love Jesus, move on. Just saying. Am I encouraging? I don't know. I hope so. Yes, I am. Because it's the truth. And the truth is good. It's always good. Truth is always good. So what I want to say this Mother's Day is this. I want to encourage on some things. On the tail end of this also, I know I'm dealing with a lot of things here, okay? So I just wanted to say those things, get them out there, read the word for yourself, study for yourself, dig in for yourself, for all those things. But I also want to say this, and I know we're missing a lot of people tonight, so that's okay. Hopefully it's being recorded. Maybe. Hopefully. I don't know. Anyway, what I want to say is this. For the single parents, you're a rock star. Tasha, you are. I'm serious. We are serious. I don't know how you do it. Well, Paula will leave me alone with the kids for about 2 hours to go somewhere, the grocery store, when I get home. And I don't know how she does. I told her this weekend, I don't know how many times, alone. And she'll go somewhere for a couple hours just to get a break, you know. And I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, how do you do this? She gets home and I'm like, I'm going to my building. No, I'm kidding. I'm really kidding. Well, sometimes. Sometimes. No. It's... Yeah, right. But it is an honorable and awesome thing what you're doing, what you're enduring at this time. And just like Jamie's word about the sales, it fits that situation also. Be patient. And so if you're in the room and you're single, patience. Wait for the right person. Don't settle for less. Don't accept the wrong one. Just be patient. You will know when that person steps into your life. Let me give an illustration of encouragement. If in that time, during that time of searching, someone comes along into your life and you have to go, well, they're all right. Red flag number one. Okay? And then you have to say, well, this is good, and that's good, but number two, strike two. Do I need to go on? No. You get the point. The Holy Spirit is telling you that. He is always there. If you love Jesus and the Holy Spirit is in your heart, He's always speaking. And it doesn't even always just pertain to these situations. It can pertain to struggles in our lives. It can pertain to things that we're struggling with, that are issues outside of relationship. It does pertain to that too. Because it's principle in the Word, and it fits all areas of our life. But I'm specifically talking about this tonight because it's key and it's important. And I don't want to get off subject, but I just want to come back to this and say, I honor all of you ladies, all of you moms, married or single, I honor you. As a pastor, as a husband myself, I understand as much as possible. For me as a man, I get that. But I'm just saying, I respect and I honor and I bless you. And I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for all that she has done for me. Because, you know, when God sent her into my life, I was in a place where it was a struggle. And she has helped me in a lot of areas to grow where I would not have grown without her. That's why you wait for the right person. You don't settle for less than God's best. And I'm thankful that she didn't settle for less. I'm thankful that she waited. I'm thankful that she fought. I'm thankful that she has been one in my life to tell me when I'm out of line. I'm thankful for that. At the moment, am I thankful? No. Not always. Actually, most of the time, probably not. But afterward, I think about it a little while, and I think, that was good. Yeah, she was. But why did God design it that way? It does work both ways. It absolutely does. And that's what that's what Paul was saying. He was encouraging husbands and wives. Because it does work both ways. It does. But I'm specifically tonight, I've got the mic, so I'm honoring my wife. And I really do. I'm thankful for you. And Tasha, I have high respect and honor for you. Because I know it's not easy. I couldn't imagine. So I honor you. Jamie, I honor you. Ray, I honor you. I love you guys. And I respect all that you do as a pastor. So if you guys would stand tonight, that's really all I wanted to do. That's all I feel like God said. And that's probably all. Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, you will. No, I'm kidding. Violet, I honor you. Mom, I really do. Thank you. In fact, you know what? Let me take a minute. You know, I tell people all the time and in conversation, I say all the time, but often, very often, most people around the mother-in-law thing, they say negative things. It is very rare when you can say positive things. And I get to, because of you. I get to say, I have a good mother-in-law. I have one that loves me. I have one that cares about me, one that speaks well of me. one that is always there and I know is always there. And I appreciate that. I really do. So, Father God, I just thank you for tonight, God. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. And I thank you for all our moms and all of our wives and every lady in this place tonight, God. I just pray that you would do everything that is in your heart to do, Father, for everyone here tonight, God. That you, for some of us as men, that if there's things that you were speaking to, that you were dealing with, God, that you would deal with us, including myself, God, if there's areas even that I'm still off and working on, God, I pray that you work on those areas, and I open my heart and my understanding to you, and I ask you to deal with me if there's any other even further or deeper levels of area in this specifically that need to be dealt with in the sense of growing me and growing my mind and growing my understanding and spirit to be a better husband to my wife, to cherish and love her more. And so, Father, I pray that you do the same thing for every husband in this building today, that you would give us a deeper understanding and deeper knowledge, and that we would open our hearts and our minds to you, Holy Spirit, to receive from you, to be better husbands, and to learn from you how to cherish and love deeper and better and further and more, and do even more than what we do now. And God, I pray that, you know, as everything in Scripture is a learning and a continual learning and a continual growing, that this also is a continual learning and growing area and experience. And so, Father, I pray that you do that for all of us here tonight, God, as men and women, God, as husbands and wives, as mothers and fathers, as single people, God, that you would do all that is in your heart to do. And for every single person here tonight, God, I pray that you would send the right one. God, that you would quickly give discernment on the false ones that are sent, not by you. And that you would give a quick understanding of the ones that are right and that are sent by you. And Father, that you send those people into our lives at the right moment and the right time. And that just like Jamie's word, that you would give us understanding by the Holy Spirit of when to raise our sails and when to lower them. So that we follow your wind to the right people in the right places at the right times and do the right things. In Jesus' name, that we would walk in the light. Amen. God bless you guys.